Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballava Giribar Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballava Giribar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballava Giribar Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballava Giribar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballava Giribar Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballava Giribar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Nitalila Pravishtam Vishnu Padashtatara Shata C.C. Mahara's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Sanstapakacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasatim vyasam Toto jayamudirayat Nasta praeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17, entitled The Victory of Hiranyaksha. Text number 5. Vavau Vayuhu Sudusparshaha Futkaran Irayan Muhu Unmulayan Nagapatin Vatyaniko Rajodvajaha Vava Vayu Sudusparshaha Vava Vayu Sudusparshaha Phutkara Nirayan Muhu Phutkara Nirayan Muhu Unmulayan Nagapatin Unmulayan Nagapatin Vatyani korajodraja Vatyani korajodraja Vava vayu sudusparshaha Phutkara nirayan muhu Unmulayan nagapatin Vatyani korajodajaha Vava vayu sudusparsha Phutkara nirayan muhu Unmulayan nagapatin Vatyani korajodajaha Thank you. ladies. Vavao, blue. Vayuhu, the winds. Sudusparshaha, unpleasant to touch. Putkaran, hissing sounds. Irayan, giving out. Muhuhu, again and again. Unmulayan, uprooting. Nagapatin, gigantic trees. Vatya, cyclonic air. Anikaha, armies. Rajaha, dust. Dvajaha, ensigns. In case any of you don't know what an ensign is, it's a standard. It's like, you know, the Roman, when they would go into battle, they'd have their ensign on a pole. It's kind of a symbol of the persons being represented. Translation. There blew winds which were most uninviting to the touch, hissing again and again and uprooting gigantic trees. They had storms for their armies and clouds of dust for their ensigns. Responsively, please repeat. There blew winds which were most uninviting to the touch, hissing again and again, and uprooting gigantic trees. They had storms for their armies and clouds of dust for their ensigns. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When there are natural disturbances like blowing cyclones, too much heat or snowfall, and uprooting of trees by hurricanes, it is to be understood that the demoniac population is increasing, and so the natural disturbance is also taking place. There are many countries on the globe, even at the present moment, where all these disturbances are current. This is true all over the world. There is insufficient sunshine, and there are always clouds in the sky, snowfall, and even severe cold. These assure that such places are inhabited by demoniac people who are accustomed to all kinds of forbidden, sinful activity. I think this purport is self-evident. Most of us, or all of us, have some access to some type of media, whether it be television, news, or the newspaper, or the internet. And practically everywhere there is unnatural disturbance in the form of excessive heat, cold, flooding, hurricanes, and pursuant to that, there are wars, there is heavy politics, It is a mad, mad, mad world that we're living in. People, somehow or other, they cannot draw a parallel. They cannot see the connection between their sinful living and the disturbances, the reactions which they're facing from nature. So it is our job, somehow or other, by humble persuasion, by ingenious means, using all types of facility to educate people. And of course, the most potent method is to give people Srila Prabhupada's books in one form or another, in hardbound or on the internet or somehow or other, to get people to open their eyes, to get people more aware of what is happening to them so that they can revolt against this. They can object to it and change their lives. Because until the environment changes, things will not get better. We cannot expect them to get better. We may learn to tolerate and to be non-reactive, but seeing the 6.5 billion people suffering in this world, we cannot be satisfied as Vaishnavas. Text number 6. The luminaries in the heavens were screened by masses of clouds in which lightning sometimes flashed as though laughing. Darkness reigned everywhere, and nothing could be seen. It's true that those who are satam, those who are sura, who are devotees of the Lord, they will not experience the miseries of material nature, the miseries of this Kali Yuga, in the same way that non-devotees experience. First of all, Krishna promises to reduce whatever reactions we were to have received almost to nil. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. So that is a blessing which we should not take for granted. On top of that, devotees are trained how to tolerate these miseries because they learn to control their minds. And it is the uncontrolled mind which exacerbates any kind of suffering. It compounds and makes it far worse than it really is. So in that way, devotees are screened. And we're fortunate. Again, we cannot rest on our laurels. We cannot simply be happy in our own communities. I see this with all due respect to my Indian brothers. They come to our temples, their Gujarati community or their Punjabi community or their Sindhi community, and I know them all. And they're very happy to, in their own community, to be peaceful and pious, etc. But they haven't got Prabhupada's vision to save the whole world. I cannot be happy alone in this world. I have a duty, I have a legacy to distribute the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And I cannot rest until I have done the very best I can do till the very end of my life. Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. He is our acharya who came, he saved us, but he wasn't satisfied with anything small. He wanted to give everyone an opportunity. So that is our legacy, that is our duty, and we cannot rest. We cannot retire. Wonderful devotees where I just came from, and I won't mention the place. But it's almost like a retirement community for devotees. And Devotees don't retire. They always go on preaching under any circumstance. One who has got life, he or she can preach. If you're a dead stone, then maybe you can't preach. But one who has got any life, he should use that life. Jivasya tatta jigyasan pracharasya. I don't know pracharasya. I don't know if there's such a word. But he can inquire about the absolute truth and he can share it with others. Jare deko tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Amar agyai. That's the order of Lord Chaitanya. To preach. The luminaries in the heavens are screened. The ocean and its high waves wailed aloud as if stricken with sorrow. And there was a commotion amongst the creatures inhabiting the ocean. The rivers and lakes were also agitated and lotuses withered. This is what happens when demoniac persons are allowed to monopolize the world, to influence the world without any challenge from the devotees. The devotees are fearless. The devotees are not, wishy-washy pussy willows. Devotees are strong. They've got courage. They've got strength. They fight. Yudhyasva vigata jara. They fight against the forces of ignorance. And they may get wounded. Some may be lost. But devotees go on because they're never lost. Because they're under Krishna's lotus feet. They're always protected. Kunteya pratijanihi name brakta pranashati. The body may die, but the soul is always protected by Krishna. Misty halos appeared around the sun and the moon during solar and lunar eclipses again and again. Claps of thunder were heard even within clouds, and sounds like those of rattling chariots emerged from the mountain caves. In the interior of the villages, she-jackals yelled portentously, vomiting strong fire from their mouths, and jackals and owls also joined them with their cries. So portentous, predicting or indicating what the future will hold. So the symptoms we are seeing today are very inauspicious, portending even greater suffering. It's just beginning, and it's going to get worse, and it will be harder and harder to be Krishna conscious. So we must begin now. Atato, now. We must strengthen ourselves and prepare ourselves and prepare our families and prepare for the future generations to make it easy for them to be Krishna conscious. We must build our community. We must build our society. And the time is running out. We have to do it now, because there's many inauspicious portention. Raising their necks, dogs cried here and there, now in the manner of singing and now of wailing. O Vidura, the asses ran hither and thither in herds, striking the earth with their hard hooves and wildly braying. Asses also feel very respectable as a race. And when they run in flocks hither and thither in so-called jollity, it is understood to be a bad sign for human society. Frightened by the braying of the asses, the birds flew, shrieking from their nests, while cattle in the cowsheds as well as in the woods passed dung and urine. Cows, terrified, yielded blood in place of milk. Clouds rained pus, the images of the gods in the temple shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast of wind. These things, actually, they do happen. We may not be immediately aware of them, but such things are happening. I know of instances in India where deities actually shed tears, or even there was a big controversy, or not controversy, but a big commotion a couple of years back about a deity that manifested milk for an abhishek. So the deities can respond. When they're unhappy, they can respond unfavorably. And we've seen many instances in our history where deities burned, or deities did different things to indicate that they were not happy with the way we were taking care of them, or they were not happy about the place where they were being kept. So we should not think that the signs are not there. They are there in a very real way. If we look to see what is stated in the Bhagavatam, the signs are there. Ominous planets such as Mars and Saturn shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones such as Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came in conflict with one another. Purport, the entire universe is moving under the three modes of material nature. Those living entities who are in goodness are called pious species, pious lands, pious trees, etc. It is similar with the planets also. Many planets are considered pious and others are considered impious. Saturn and Mars are considered impious. When the pious planets shine very brightly, it is an inauspicious sign. But when the inauspicious planets shine very brightly, it is not a very good sign. I know that many senior devotees are now going through their Shani Mahadasha period. I know I'm going through Saturn, and it can be very malefic. It can be very inauspicious. Of course, it does represent renunciation, but it can also represent, or it can also bring disease, and it can also bring heavy karma. So it really doesn't matter, because devotees are transcendental to all of this. If they're not, they're trying to be, and there's no other way except to transcend. That's interesting. Marking these and many other omens of evil times, everyone but the four sage sons of Brahma, who were aware of the fall of Jaya and Vijaya and of their birth as Diti's sons, were seized with fear. They did not know the secrets of these portents and thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. Purport. According to the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, the laws of nature are so stringent, so tight, so confining. You can't go beyond them. Krishna says, Daivihi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. You can't go beyond the modes of material nature. You can't cheat. You can't hide. You can't make an alternative arrangement. It is impossible for the living entity to surpass their enforcement. It is also explained that only those who are fully surrendered to Krishna and Krishna consciousness can be saved. Mameva ye prapadyante, mayametam tarantite. One can cross over if one is mameva ye prapadyante. If one is surrendered to Krishna, then it's like the amount of water accumulated in a calf's hoof print, as opposed to the ocean of material suffering. For a devotee, it's like stepping over a calf's hoof print. Not very difficult. I haven't heard of anybody who's died in the water, drowned in the water, accumulated in a calf's hoof print. So the only persons who can transcend, the only persons who can go beyond the miseries of material existence are those who are taking shelter of, following the instructions of, serving Lord Krishna. Because Krishna is a dahoksaja. So everything that you do for the service of Krishna, it helps you to come to the platform of adhoksaja. It helps you to come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Na sochati, na kankshati. Beyond the bodily conception of life, which is so entangling, it's so deeply rooted in us. We heavily identify with this body. And the only remedial measure, aushadhi, is the holy name and service to the holy name. It is, we can learn from the description of the Srimad Bhagavatam that it is because of the birth of two great demons that there were so many natural disturbances. It is to be indirectly understood, as previously described, that when there are constant disturbances on the earth, that is an omen that some demoniac people have been born or that the demoniac population has increased. In former days, there were only two demons, those born of Diti. Yet, there were so many disturbances at the present day, especially in the age of Kali. These disturbances are always visible, which indicates that the demoniac population has certainly increased. To check the increase of demoniac population, the Vedic civilization enacted so many rules and regulations of social life. So many rules and regulations of social life. Tasmat tvam indriyani adau niyamya bhartashama papmanam prajahienam jnana vijnana nashanam. Our enemy is lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. And the only way to conquer these enemies is right from the beginning. We have to introduce vaidhi bhakti. Sadhana, vaidhi, bhakti. And we have to become expert in that. It is useless. It is absolutely useless when we have no real perfection on the Vaidhi platform to even think about Raganuga. It's totally bogus. It's ludicrous. It's a farce. We can't even get off the bodily platform when we're thinking about dancing with the gopis, dancing with Krishna. First come to grade one. First become a human being. Then we'll see later on, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, where we have to go. Most important of which is Garbhadhan process for begetting good children. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna informed Krishna that if there is unwanted population, Varna Shankara, the entire world would appear to be hell. People are very anxious for peace in the world, but there are so many unwanted children born without the benefit of the Garbhadhan ceremony, just like the demons born from Diti. So, it's a little bit of a bitter pill, because we're not so used to this. But it is a fact that our enemy is lust and the manifestation of lust is sex. Sex is meant for producing good children. And if we follow Krishna's rules, dharma viruddha bhuteshu, if we follow Krishna's instructions, if we allow ourselves, we stop being our worst enemy, but we just follow nicely, then we'll experience peace of mind and satisfaction and joy and happiness It is not necessary that we have more and more and more of everything. We want a little quality in our life. That will bring us real satisfaction. And this garbhadhan sanskar, it's not so horrible. It can be done if we want the result. If we think we can achieve the result beyond nature, beyond Krishna's guidelines, good luck. Good luck. But I highly doubt it. Diti was so lusty that she forced her husband to copulate at a time which was inauspicious, and therefore the demons were born to create disturbances. In having sex life to beget children, one should observe the process for begetting nice children. If each and every householder in every family observes the Vedic system, then there are nice children, not demons. And automatically there is peace in the world. If we do not follow regulations in life for social tranquility, we cannot expect peace. Rather, we will have to undergo the stringent reactions of the laws of material nature. What could be clearer? No need for any elucidation. It's just so clear. So today is the auspicious disappearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya. I know that Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also would often quote stories from, there's one book, I forget the name of it, Andhra something or other. Anyway, stories from Sri Ramanuja. Prabhupada carried a book, The Philosophy of Sri Ramanuja, carried it with him wherever he went. And he would read that from time to time. And, of course, he read from all of our acharyas, all the tikas on Srimad Bhagavatam. He had a big fat book with Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Jiva Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta, and he would read their purports. But he also very much appreciated Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya was born in Andhra Pradesh. There are five Dravidas, Pancha Dravida in South India, five major areas. Now there's four, more or less, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Andhra, and Karnataka. So you see all of our acharyas, including Shankaracharya, they were all from the south. Ramanuja was born in Andhra, South Andhra. And he was not, although it's, we refer to Ramanuja Sampradaya, which is, was initiated or inaugurated by Lakshmi Devi, Sri Sampradaya. Lakshmi is known as Sri. Sri means wealth. So he was the most famous personality, especially in the modern times. So therefore it's called Ramanuja Sampradaya. But before him, there were many Alwars. Some 12, I believe, Alwars. A-L-V-A-R. And they were also great Vaishnavas. They were mostly from Tamil Nadu. And some of them even lived up to 5,000 years ago at the turn of the Yuga. And one of those Alwars was King Kulashekar. Some of them, three of them or four of them, something, were rulers, actually. They weren't, they were kings. There was one was a woman, Andal Alwar, very great devotee. She was married to the deity. She was so devoted. And one of them, my favorite, was Tirumangai Alwar. He was the one who constructed Sri Rangam Temple. He had the deity, but there was no temple, and he had four disciples who had siddhis, one could step on someone's shadow and stop them from going anywhere. So I don't know what kind of city that is. Then another one could read anybody's mind. Another one could open any lock, and another one could walk on water like Jesus. So he was very disturbed. People were very mukichus at that time, a very graphic Indian expression. The businessman, he's a fly falls into a vat of ghee. And so, you know, you don't want to use that for cooking with a fly in it. So he takes the fly out and then he, you know, sucks on the ghee. He gets the ghee out and then throws the fly away. That's mukichus. He's that miserly. The people weren't giving for the deity, so he said to his disciples, we have to do something. So they organized a group of dacoits, thieves and robbers, to extort money from the people. And they raised enough money. They promised the dacoits their share, and they raised enough money and built the temple. And was almost built, the dacoits got some notion that we're not going to get paid here. So they decided to kill Tirumungai, but the guy who could read people's minds, he figured it out. So they went to them and said, look, we have your share. We've kept it on an island in the middle of this big lake, and we'll take you there tonight to get it. So one of the disciples rowed them out towards the island in the middle of the lake late at night, and then all of a sudden there was a big bang, and there was screaming, and then this disciple came walking back across the water. And that was the end of the dacoits. But Ramanuja, he was in that line. They were very devotional, beautiful prayers they have written, mostly in Tamil language, but very, very beautiful prayers. Bhakti is pure bhakti, although we know the Sri Sampradaya to be mostly into awe and reverence and rituals, etc., just like you go to Tirupati, whatever. But the Alwars were very much into devotion, love, and bhakti. So Ramanuja was quite famous for building a lot of temples. He was the first acharya, prominent acharya, in this age to directly attack Shankaracharya. His philosophy was known as Vishishtadvaita. And he had a number of gurus, actually. His most prominent guru was Yamunacharya, who's also very famous, a very great devotee. He also had another guru, which I forget the story exactly, but the guru became the disciple of Ramanuja. What happened was he was expounding philosophy one day, and he was describing the red cheeks of Krishna like the backside of a monkey, the redness on the backside of a monkey. So Ramanuja cringed at the comparison, and he just began to cry, and then he defeated his guru. And then later on, his guru became his disciple. There's another instance where Ramanuja, like, he went to Jagannath Puri, and the worship in Puri is not exactly according to Pancharatrika worship. It's more, you know, they say even a fish eater in Puri gets liberation. They worship Jagannath in their own special way. And so Ramanuja attacked them, or debated with them, and defeated them. And Jagannath didn't like that his bhaktas had been defeated by this big scholar, Ramanuja. So in the middle of the night, I don't know, it was a dream or exactly what it was. It wasn't exactly a dream, because he picked him up and threw him 800 miles south. And he landed at a place which is now Kurukshetra. At first, Ramanuja thought it was a deity of Shiva. It was a place of Shiva. But later on, he understood it was Kurma. And he established a big temple there of Kurukshetra. And Ramanuja also established many mutts, one especially at Ahobalam. I've been there a few times, and it's the place ostensibly where Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu. There are 9 temples there, and then there's a stumba way up on the mountain, Nrisimha stumba. You have to climb. It's like, I guess it's about a what degree? About an 80-degree angle or something. It's very straight up. You have to. It's hard climbing to get up to the top. And but they have at the temple there. They have a beautiful deity of Nrisimha, Lakshmi Nrisimha, which is solid gold. And then they have another deity that was given to them by Ramanujacharya, also of Krishna, Kannan, which is also solid gold. So today is there's so much that could be said about Ramanujacharya. As I said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada both appreciated them and told many stories about them. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Going to Alachua?
No, I've been there.
Oh, you've been there. Got it. Okay. Wonderful. My father was really concerned about you. He wanted to say goodbye to you, and then we heard that you were in the hospital, and then you left the day after or something. And my father was really, really worried about you. He was like, Sridhar, so we did this amazing program, and now he's in the hospital. I told him he should take better care of himself. And he was really, really, really concerned about you.
Well, people ask my help, and I say, well, I made it past yesterday. Uh-huh. I'll tell you about today, tomorrow.
Well, I just want to thank you again for that wonderful event in Bombay. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Devotees need to know about it. I was hoping you were going to say something about the Bombay program.
They know about it?
Yeah, devotees need to know about it.
Oh,
it's wonderful.
Yeah.
There are
some things on the internet, but most of them probably don't be on the internet.
I should check that out.
Yeah, Satchinanda wrote something.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'll check it out. Yeah
it's on, I guess it's on Deepika.
What is that?
Deepika.org.
Oh, is that a new one?
Well, that's Umapati's reformed chakra or something. I don't know.
Oh, so does chakra exist in it?
Well, chakra, the mood of the organizer of chakra is that Prabhupada made mistakes, Prabhupada didn't understand Prabhupada. So for some of us, that's not our mood. And my guru was right even when he was wrong.
Exactly. Thing, this is really something we can talk about probably right now because it's something at length that needs to be discussed, but but I've just been really thinking about hearing about the events in the world that are happening and things like that, how we can have a direct effect. I don't think Srila Prabhupada just wanted us to be
indirectly affect
the world.
More social commentary.
And I look around and there's a sprinkling of people here, mm-hmm. and most of us, including myself, are totally complacent and not even thinking or dreaming about doing anything.
Someone told me about the space shuttle, you know, and I felt, well,